Hi, this is Scott Wilkinson, host of Home Theater Geeks. In episode 349, I chat with AVS Blu-ray reviewer Ralph Potts about his system and his favorite Blu-rays and Ultra HD Blu-rays. So stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Home Theater Geeks is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded April 13th, 2017. Episode 349, The Best Blu-rays and UHD Blu-rays. Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here, the Home Theater Geek and editor of AVSForum.com. This week's guest geek is Ralph Potts, our own Blu-ray reviewer on AVSForum.com. Ralph, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Glad to be here.
Always glad to have you here. Those of you who are tuned in live at live.twit.tv can visit the chat room there or go to irc.twit.tv. And you can post questions for Ralph as we go, and I'll pass along as many as I can. Always helps if you put my screen name in that message, which is my name, Scott Wilkinson, no dots or dashes, because then it shows up on a different in a different color on my screen, and my eye is more easily drawn to it. So let's start, Ralph, with your current system. As with most home theater geeks, you know, you upgrade as things become available and new capabilities are deployed in the field. What have you got in your system right now?
Scott, right now, in terms of the electronics, the brains of the system is a Marantz AV8802A. It's a Dolby Atmos ready AV processor. I'm running two 7-channel amps. I'm running a 7.1.4 channel system. So I've got seven speakers in the ear listening plane and then four overhead in-ceiling speakers. Mm-hmm. All the speakers in the listening plane are made by Canton, with the exception of my my surrounds, the side surrounds, which are SVS Ultras. They're a bipolar / dipolar configurable surround speaker. Mm-hmm. The subs are also SVS. I had the PB13 Ultra and the SB13 Ultra subs there. My projector that I'm running is JVC. It's the RS500. It's a 4K, full K capable front projector, which does HDR and BT20 20 color. My screen's made by Stewart. The sources that I have, the primary source I have, Scott, is the Oppo, their latest 4K Blu-ray player. It's actually a universal player, right. The UDP-203.
Nice player.
It is. It is very nice, as a matter of fact. Very capable too, in terms of handling anything you throw at it. I also have the Samsung 4K UHD player in my system. I got that first, so I've kind of kept it there as a backup, as I like to have in the event you get a disc that you put in your primary player that for whatever reason won't play. I like to have a backup, and so I keep the Samsung in the system for that.
Sure.
And that's primarily it.
Mm-hmm. And the projector you mentioned, the JVC, as you said, is 4K, what we call 4K, F-A-U-X, which is really a 1080p in which the pixels are shifted quickly back and forth to give you a pseudo 4K image. But, I'm sure I've read and seen that it looks quite sharp even at that.
And as a matter of fact, it does, Scott. And I've seen comparisons between specifically between the JVC 4K or 4K projectors and native 4K projector in terms of resolution. You have to kind of look to see the difference in terms of resolution. I think the native 4Ks are can be a little sharper. You might eke a little more detail out of it, but the differences are hard to spot.
Well, and it's also high dynamic range, which is interesting because there really isn't any standard for high dynamic range in projectors. Most companies, notably JVC, now Sony has some as well, do have HDR, high dynamic range capable projectors that can accept a high dynamic range signal in a particular format called HDR10 and display that on the screen. But the actual brightness that you see coming off the screen depends on the size of the screen. And so give us a quick hit of what you had before versus what you have now. And is there really a significant difference in terms of dynamic range?
Well, I also had a JVC projector before this. It was a standard 1080p model capable of accepting a 4K signal using their e-shift, pixel shift technology.
Same sort of thing, yeah.
Same sort of thing. However, it was not HDR capable, and there's no question that there is a difference when you're sending it a native 4K source with HDR, HDR10 specifically in this case. The projector is noticeably brighter. The highlights are definitely more vibrant, vivid, punchier. So the projector in and of itself, it also uses a different lamp than the other model used. So it's significantly brighter. But of course, it's not going to match the luminance output of a flat panel.
No, even an OLED. But,
exactly. It's not going to do that. Now, the screen that I'm using, and you mentioned earlier in terms of the size of the screen, that does have something to do with it, but the screen material does as well.
True.
I'm using a 1.3 gain screen. It's a white screen. So I get a little more punch out of it than you might get with a lower gain screen or a gray screen or something like that.
And the JVCs are so well known for their deep, deep blacks that you've already got that covered. I mean, even in the previous generation.
That's true.
Yeah. User 6226 is asking a question. You mentioned that your side surrounds are a different make than the rest of the speakers, at least at ear level. And the question is, they're made by somebody else, so do they have a different sound? I always advocate that when you're putting together a speaker system, you try and use speakers from the same company and even from the same line, because that means that their tonal balance will be very similar as things pan across. But if you have something from a different company, it might be a little distracting. I assume that's not the case here.
That's correct. It is not the case. I personally prefer utilizing bipole surrounds for my side surrounds. These are configurable. You can configure them for either dipole or bipole operation. I prefer the bipole
which gives you a more diffuse kind of sound field to the sides.
Exactly. It really helps to create more of a wraparound type effect, but not one that is distracting in any way. Actually, it sounds quite natural. Now, one of the things reasons why I went with the SVS Ultras is because I think they're pretty neutral in terms of their tonality. So there's really no problem with them integrating with the Cantons, and there's no issue there in terms of having anything that sounds different or distracting, or the timbre being off or anything like that. They actually sound excellent.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And what about the overheads? Are those Cantons as well or SVS?
No, they're Cantons.
Cantons.
They're actually in-ceiling speakers.
Okay. Good. 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 Well, actually, UJ in the chat room asked a question even before we got started, and I wanted to ask it of you, which is, you've seen high dynamic range HDR content in your home theater now. The question is, have you seen HDR graded movies in a Dolby Cinema? And if so, how does that compare with what you see at home?
You know, Scott, I have not had the opportunity to see HDR in a theater.
And it, you know,
Yeah, so I don't have any frame of reference for what it would be like in the theater versus what it would be like in the home environment, specifically in my home theater. It is something that I would like to do. The closest theater for me is about 70 miles away or so. So, you know, it's not something that's convenient for me to get to. So I haven't had that opportunity, you know, I hope to do that soon. And I would be very interested. So that's a great question.
Yeah, I really hope you get to as well. You're kind of in the New York-ish area, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So there, I know there's the Empire 25 in Manhattan, AMC Empire 25, and that's been there a while. And granted, if it's a long way to get there, then it's not a casual thing. But I do recommend that you try to make the effort at least once to see that, because I would love to hear how you feel about that compared to what you have at home.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, let's move on then. I wanted to get your thoughts on the appearance of high dynamic range and wide color gamut on UHD or Ultra HD content, Ultra HD Blu-rays in particular, as compared with Blu-rays. Does it offer, in your opinion, does it offer a significant advantage?
I believe the difference, Scott, is significant. You know, Ultra HD, I think a lot of people get hung up on ultra high definition's resolution and the resolution differences between that and Blu-ray and standard 1080p Blu-ray. When in fact, I really think that the difference, the significant differences aren't so much in the resolution, because a good 1080p image can look very, very, very good versus an image we are talking about going from, you know, 1080p to 4K. But really, the significant difference that I see with it is high dynamic range and wide color gamut. And the differences are significant and noticeable. Specifically, you know, the dynamic highlights on the low end, in other words, on the dark end of the spectrum, as well as on the lighter end of the spectrum. And you know, it varies from disc to disc. It varies, you know, the implementation varies. It depends on the source. It depends on the cinematography. So there are things that can impact it. But when you're watching, you know, if you were to sit down and watch the same material in 1080p and the same material, in, you know, SDR versus HDR, the differences are quite noticeable.
Yeah. I've always said the same thing, that the resolution, the pixel resolution, isn't nearly as important. Now that we've got HD 1080p, moving to 4K resolution doesn't bring that much additional benefit, but HDR and wide color gamut certainly do. So I'm glad to hear you think the same.
I do. And I tell you, Scott, I think that what I find most attractive about it is, I think, as home theater enthusiasts, I think what we try to strive for is to have the material that we're seeing and hearing at home replicate real life as much as possible. So when you're watching something on screen, you want to be drawn into it by what you're seeing as well as what you're hearing. And I think that, and I know we're going to talk about, you know, immersive sound later or whatever, but I think that, you know, now with ultra high definition, with high dynamic range, wide color gamut, and immersive sound, I think we've moved a little, even closer to having that experience.
Yeah. Well, we are going to talk about that, and certainly the immersive sound of Dolby Atmos and DTS:X, which are the two primary formats, bring you closer to that real life experience in the sonic domain, just like high dynamic range and wide color gamut bring you that much closer in the visual domain. A lot of what I want to talk about today, though, is what are some of your favorite titles that you have reviewed for their video and or audio quality? And the important thing to note here is we're not talking about the quality of the movie itself. And this is a little odd. And it kind of reminds me a bit about like audiophiles, right, who say, oh, you should listen to this piece, which has great bass, or this piece, which has one characteristic or another. And we're kind of almost getting away from the movie itself as a story, but rather the you know, the style over the substance. How do you approach that question when you're reviewing movies? Can you keep them separate pretty easily?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's much easier for the viewer if the experience is complete. In other words, you know, the source material is interesting and draws you in, and you know, as well as the visual and audio experience. But unfortunately, you know, in my position, you know, sometimes you're sitting down and you're watching a movie and the movie is not that great. but you know, conversely, sometimes if the presentation is of high quality, it can kind of help soften that blow a little bit and draw you into the movie just a hair, and kind of make it a little more of a palatable experience. But you know, at the end of the day, if the movie's bad, it's kind of tough to really, you know, find it to be a wholly gratifying experience. Yeah. But it does help if the movie's good.
Yeah, I totally agree. Beatmaster in the chat room is asking, did the change to UHD Blu-rays bring any issues with early generation 4K AVRs and UHD TVs? I've heard some pre-HDR devices that made the signal go down to 1080p. That relates to the question I was going to ask you, which is, you remember when Blu-ray first came out and there were a few titles, the very first early titles like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or no, it wasn't that. It was House of a Thousand Daggers, I think. And The Fifth Element came out and they looked awful. And it was the studios trying to get their hands or get their head around, how do we make a good Blu-ray? Did the same thing happen with UHD Blu-ray?
I don't think so. You know, I haven't found that to be the case. I remember the early days of Blu-ray, and it almost seemed as though, you know, they were rushing, you know, the content, you know, to press and giving us poor masters and poor techniques in terms of how they were encoding the discs and compressing them and so forth and so on. And that resulted in some very popular titles first coming to, you know, to Blu-ray that were, like you mentioned, The Fifth Element. That was a big problem when that first issue came, or the first issuance of the Blu-ray came out for that one. But I have not seen that. You know, there is, I think, you know, with any new format, there's going to be some growing pains, especially in terms of integrating, you know, your equipment, you know, with other equipment and getting everything to line up and work properly, because, you know, in the early days there is a little bit of that. Specifically, with bandwidth issues related to cabling and so forth and so on, going from one display to the next, especially people who have, you know, projectors that are ceiling mounted. So you had these long HDMI cable runs and things like that. I've seen a lot of that. But I think, you know, some of it too is user error, you know, where people not really realizing, you know, that some of their equipment in the chain weren't really, set up for 4K or UHD. And that was probably where the problem lied.
Right. And this is Beatmaster's question. Exactly. The equipment interacting with this new content, 4K, HDR, and so on. There definitely have been problems. And there still are, in fact. We're still in the very early days of Ultra HD. And so, for example, there are very few, if any, AV receivers that can pass a Dolby Vision high dynamic range signal. Now, that's not really too much of a problem yet, because there aren't any Dolby Vision UHD Blu-rays. Those have all used HDR10. Right. And even that had some problems, you know, with early hardware. But Dolby Vision is going to be the same thing when those discs start coming out this year. I don't know if you read this thing I wrote on AVS a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, about somebody spotted a Dolby Vision logo on the Ultra HD, a picture of the Ultra HD packaging for Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2.
I saw that.
Yeah, and those are the first identified discs to come out with Dolby Vision. And the problem I'm really concerned about is that when people buy those, and I'll really be interested to hear what your experience is, when you buy those, you get them home, you play them, will that Dolby Vision signal pass from the player through the processor in your case and onto the projector. I would be surprised. I mean, I don't know about the Marantz, your Marantz specifically, but it'd be worth investigating.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly don't think that it's going to, you know, the player, the everything in the chain's got to kind of all agree and shake hands, and everything has to line up, you know, from the disc through to the AVR, through to the projector or video processor or whatever you have in the chain. So I agree with you. It would be interesting to see if that would work. I know that those discs are also going to be authored with HDR10, so there will be, you know, an alternative there.
And, good point.
You know, so we'll have to see, like you said, how that all shakes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in the very early days, and it's a wild ride, I think. Matt P24, that's kind of an interesting screen name, asks what you think about Batman v Superman audio and video, in particular the Wonder Woman intro during the Doomsday fight. But this actually leads us into what we were going to talk about today, which is some of your picks for, you know, the best audio and video. And I believe you listed Batman v Superman in your immersive sound, your list of top picks for immersive sound.
I did, and it's funny because that specific sequence is among my favorites. I actually use that as an Atmos demo any chance I get. So Matt P 24, he's right on the money. That sounds spectacular. And, you know, I'm a big fan of that sequence because I love Wonder Woman's intro there. It's just so cool with the music and her coming in there. But yeah, that's a great sequence.
Right. Actually, I went and saw that movie in the theater at a Dolby Cinema. And there it's so humorless, I thought, except for that one scene where Wonder Woman shows up. And Batman says to Superman, "Is she with you?" Superman responds, "Oh, I thought she was with you." I thought that was hilarious. But it was the only funny moment in the movie that I remember.
it's actually a pretty serious movie. But yeah, that one scene is great because you can see them kind of looking at each other, and you know, Superman kind of looks at Batman and says, "You know, did you get the spear?" And Batman kind of gives him a look out of the corner of his eye and says, "I've been a little busy."
Great. Well, as you say, that's a demo worthy Atmos moment. How did the visuals stack up on that one?
The visuals on that one are fine, you know, but that's one of those titles, you know, Scott, that it has its moments. There are select moments where, you know, specifically where HDR really pops in that one. They're kind of I don't want to say hit or miss, but it's not one of these movies because it's kind of a darker movie in terms of its cinematography and its visual aesthetic. It's kind of darker. But the good part about that is when you have sequences like that where there isn't a lot of light. And, you know, you have explosions or things like that, you know, that's where, you know, you get these brilliant and very lifelike bursts of light and things. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, so it does shine in that regard. But in terms of its overall video quality, you know, wide color gamut and things like that, and resolution that stands far and above the 1080p, I would say it's not quite. But its use of dynamic highlights with HDR is very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about Atmos and immersive audio brings up the question that for some reason, and I don't know why, and you probably don't either, the studios have decided that in many cases, the Blu-ray does not have an Atmos soundtrack, whereas the Ultra HD Blu-ray does. Is that correct, or is that a misperception on my part?
Well, I think it depends on the studio. Lionsgate, you know, you get on the 1080p on the Blu-ray version, you're getting Atmos. Mm. If there's Atmos there, if there's Atmos on the UHD, there's Atmos on the Blu-ray. Which I like, but there are studios that do exactly what you're talking about. You know, Sony's one of them. I don't understand it, but on Sony's Ultra HD titles, you're going to get an Atmos track, but on their the same title that comes in the package with the UHD, the Blu-ray, you're going to get a DTS HD soundtrack. Maybe 7.1 or 5.1, but it's going to be DTS HD. So that can be frustrating for those that are, you know, hoping, you know, that don't have, UHD capability at home, but are Atmos or DTSX, you know, capable, because they would like to have the advantage of having that on the Blu-ray, but they're not getting it. So, no, they for some reason, the studios don't do it. And I think Fox does that as well. Warner Brothers, like Lionsgate, predominantly does both. On occasion, you may find that they'll just give you a 7.1 channel track, DTS HD track, master audio track on the UHD as well as the Blu-ray. So I've seen that in a number of cases as well, where there has not even been an immersive soundtrack.
Mm. And that really frustrates me, especially if it was released in the theaters with an immersive soundtrack, because I would want to get it home and experience it that way. Well, while we're talking about immersive sound, what are some of the other titles that you've identified as being particularly good with immersive sound, Dolby Atmos or DTSX?
I've selected just a handful for us to discuss. One of them is In the Heart of the Sea. I don't know if you saw that movie or not. It's a Ron Howard film.
It was one of Ron Howard. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Atmos track on that title is spectacular. And I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I gave that one a perfect rating of 100.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. The recent release of a horror movie called Blair Witch, that kind of reimaged the Blair Witch Project. That one has got an awesome immersive soundtrack as well. And that movie, being, you know, the type of movie that it is, you know, a horror type movie, thriller, the immersive soundtrack is excellent. I mean, there are sounds coming from various points in the sound field, both, you know, in the listening plane above as well as at ear level, and very, very effective at creating atmosphere. So that one's really good.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I would not watch that one, because I really don't like true horror movies. I like suspense and I like mystery, but, you know, real horror, I'll pass on that.
Well, don't worry.
And I would imagine that the immersive soundtrack would heighten the sense of horror and terror, because, you know, somebody coming in behind you or from above, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if you or most people would kind of, you'd hear some sound from above and you look up, which gets back to the imitating real life issue that we talked about earlier.
There's no question about it. And in that movie specifically, there's actually a sequence where a tree falls outside their tent. You know, all the victims are in a tent, and outside a tree falls. And I'm telling you, Scott, I thought that tree was landing in my theater room. It sounded spectacular. Deepwater Horizon. I don't know if you've seen Deepwater Horizon.
I didn't see Mark Wahlberg that one. Movie. I wanted to see that one. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Peter Berg directed it. That one, I don't know if it got a perfect 100 from me, but it was close. That's an excellent, Dolby Atmos soundtrack. Because you have this oil rig, and there's things that are falling and exploding, and, you know, they're kind of battling, you know, these elements, and, you know, and the movie, you know, thematically, it builds this suspense and this tension, and, you know, the Atmos soundtrack complements it perfectly. Mm.
I heard it was a very good movie. I intended to see it in Dolby Cinema, but I didn't get a chance to do that one.
Yes, that one was good. I'm going to go back to Mad Max Fury Road.
Everybody's favorite demo disc.
it's just amazing. You know, it's one of those movies, you know, I don't know. Some people, you know, don't care for it, you know, and then there's others that, you know, that really, really get it. But the Atmos soundtrack on Mad Max Fury Road, and I was so happy that, you know, they released it on Ultra HD, because it looks amazing on Ultra HD, and the sound just makes it all the better.
Mm-hmm. And it's in high dynamic range, so the imagery, again, is probably fantastic. I mean, most TV manufacturers use that movie to demonstrate their high dynamic range.
Well, they picked a good choice because that one, you know, with its use of the, you know, the stylistic visuals, and of course, you know, you have, you know, these wide swings in color and contrast, you know, going from, you know, brightly lit sun-splashed scenes to, you know, these darker, you know, low contrasty type scenes, you know, the interstitials that you can see in the lower level scenes look amazing, and of course, you know, the crisp, vibrant brights, you know, of the explosions or the gunfire or the natural
light. Or out in the desert.
Yes. And the natural light of day, you know, where the sun reflects off objects, you know, the vehicles and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Extremely natural looking, very realistic looking, and just a great all around presentation.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I'll mention about Mad Max Fury Road is there's a shot when there's some chase and there's a guitar player standing on one of the cars playing in front of a wall of speakers, right? And his guitar shoots out flames. But what's really interesting to me is that he's wearing these red long johns. And that color red is much deeper than you see on Blu-ray in without wide color gamut. And that right there is one moment where you can see clearly that wide color gamut is something different.
No question, Scott. And also, looking at some of the going back to a high dynamic range, mm-hmm. if you take a look at, you know, certain sequences in that movie where you look at the sky and the clouds in the sky, if you look at certain sequences there and compare them to the Blu-ray, you can actually make out, even with the sun coming through the clouds, you can make out the gradations in the clouds going from white to gray to lighter gray to darker gray. Whereas if you look at the Blu-ray, you know, what you're really getting is just a white cloud. So you're not really able to make out those variations. So there's another example of high dynamic range.
Right. Muchacho in the chat room is asking, which studio creates higher quality masters? Is there any way to tell by the label on the disc? Like we can't, he says, like we can on audio CDs. You know, you can say on an audio CD, they might give you some indication of the technical process by which they were made. And I think it's true on Blu-rays. Didn't Sony at least had some Blu-rays called mastered in 4K, but that was for Blu-ray. Is there any way to tell?
There really isn't, and I think it, you know, it's a case by case basis. Mm. You know, there's no way to tell by looking at a disc or looking at the cover of a Blu-ray or an Ultra HD, you know, to say, okay, well, this is going to have a better master than this one here. So there isn't really anything that's set up for that. You know, and it would even be tough if you were trying to look to see. Let's say you went to a website, like let's say IMDb, and looked at the technical aspects of a particular mm-hmm. movie to try and
great
find
resource,
out.
By the way, if you want to look at for the technical aspects, IMDb has some really good information.
It does. At least that it will then tell you whether or not the film itself, you know, was, you know, how it was shot. Was it shot digitally? Was it on film? Mm-hmm. You know, what type of master it used, what type of source it used. But that still doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that you know, the Blu-ray itself will be, you know, authored that way. In most cases, you know, it does. But so, I mean, you could start with that and kind of hope for the best. But there's mm-hmm. no way to look at a disc's packaging to get that information. There's just no way to know.
Yeah. I figured as much. Web6226 is asking, now that you've mentioned Sony, any word if they've brought out Godzilla 1998 in UHD? I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
No, they haven't yet. And I haven't seen anything on it. I haven't seen any press on it. I don't know. I don't know. I want to put any money. I wouldn't put any money on that one, but I mean, you never know.
Yeah. It's a return on investment question for the studios, I'm sure, all the time.
Definitely.
Okay, let's see. Any other immersive sound titles we want to make sure we mention?
Let's see. Now, we talked about Batman v Superman. Hacksaw Ridge, which is a more recent movie that I reviewed on UHD, has an excellent immersive soundtrack. It's also Dolby Atmos. you know, that one really comes to life, a little bit later in the movie. Initially, you know, you have the setup of the characters, but when we get to the point where they, you know, wind up on Hacksaw Ridge and the first volley of battleship cannon fire kind of opens the door. And from there, you know, literally all hell breaks loose and it's just one heck of a ride. So that's another one that sounds terrific in Dolby Atmos.
Mm-hmm. Now, do any of these titles that you've mentioned or you have in your list that you sent me, are they DTS:X? Have you had a chance to compare Atmos to DTS:X soundtracks? And is there much of a difference between them?
Well, you know, I don't have as many DTS:X, Blu-rays or UHD Blu-rays as I do Dolby Atmos. You know, Dolby came to the table first, so, you know, a lot of their, so I have a lot more of those. But I do have some that are DTS:X. And
your processor decodes DTS:X as well as Atmos, correct?
Yeah, it does both. It does both. Like what comes to mind recently, some recent DTS:X tracks are they just released the last four Harry Potter movies on UHD, and they all have DTS:X immersive soundtracks on them. And in terms of comparing the two, you know, I've never been able to take an Atmos track or a film or a release that has an Atmos track and a DTS:X track and listen
to
the
two. Oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And say, hey, you know, I can really kind of compare these. So I don't really have that ability. But in terms of how gratifying they are, you know, the DTS:X tracks on those are very, very good. I thought they did a very nice job because those initially had just DTS:X HD Master Audio 5.1 channel soundtracks. Mm-hmm. And the immersive experience that DTX offers on those, I could make those comparisons and the difference it's quite noticeable. So, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a fan of, you know, more so of one than the other, but I have had the opportunity to listen to more Atmos tracks, and I am a big fan of Dolby Atmos. But DTS:X, you know, I mean, it is an immersive listening experience, and the ones that I've heard predominantly I've liked.
Yeah. And there aren't, as you say, there aren't nearly as many of them because Atmos came to the table way ahead of DTS. DTS:X, but you know, there are some starting to come out now. It would be interesting. I guess there probably is no reason for the studio to want to put both an Atmos and a DTS:X soundtrack on the same disc. There really would be no reason to do that. So as you say, then there's no way to really compare the two on the same content.
Correct.
Yeah. let's see. Keeper's asking, what about 192 kilohertz audio? This is like high-res audio. Do any titles have it besides Akira? Apparently Akira has it. I didn't know that, but do you know?
Well, I tell you, Scott, if they're out there, there are just, you know, a few of them, and I don't have any. I don't believe I've ever heard any. I haven't heard Akira, but so I would say the answer to that would be if they are available, they're very limited in quantity.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. A muchacho is asking, what HDR player do you recommend? I have the Samsung, and it is very loud. I assume he means fan noise or mechanism noise. I would guess you'd probably recommend the Oppo, as I would.
Yeah, I would recommend the Oppo. You know, Oppo has been making quality Blu-ray players now for quite some time, and I think they've pretty much got it down to a science. And their players, not only are they reliable, but their players tend to pretty much handle everything that you would need to throw at it. You know, everything from music on through to movies and so forth, streaming capabilities and things like that. But
the new Oppo does not have streaming, and I want to make sure everybody understands that. The reason that Oppo took it out, they had it in their previous players, but they took it out of this one because they said, you know what, there's so many streaming sources in the TV itself, in a Roku box, in a bunch of other places. We didn't really feel we needed it here. We wanted to concentrate on the quality of the disc playback. And I thought that was an interesting approach that made sense to me.
I would agree. I would agree with that. And sorry, I should have been clearer. When I said streaming, I meant using DLNA, or if you were going to, using a server or something like that. That was what I meant, because I use I have an outboard hard drive that I use to stream, you know, some video and music and things like that from my computer over to the Apple. So I like that it does that. But yeah, you're right. I kind of agree with them. There are so many other options for streaming, you know, Netflix and things like that, for watching, you know, TV or movies, that I think it made more sense for them to try and focus on, you know, the other aspects of this player. And I think they've done a very good job. Now, I also realize it may be a little pricier than others, you know, that some people may want to spend money on. And, you know, I mean, that's a consideration. I had the Samsung player in my rack. I haven't noticed it to be loud or sluggish or anything like that. So I'm not really sure what the issue is he's having there.
Yeah, Marsworm in the chat room is saying his isn't loud. So maybe it was just a one-off problem, in which case you might want to get that looked at.
Yep.
Beatmaster asked an interesting question. What about concert videos? Have you listened to many of those?
I get that question. I've gotten that question before, and I don't get very many concert videos to review. So, you know, the few that I have heard, on Blu-ray, you know, they've been fine. You know, so, and the, you know, I could probably try and look to do more of those, you know, from Eagle Rock and things like that. Because I know that, I think that there are quite a few people out there and in our community that may be interested in that. So that may be something I'll look into, going forward, but I don't have that many and haven't had the opportunity to listen to that many, concert, Blu-rays.
Right. Well, let's move on to the video quality in UHD Blu-rays. And you sent me a fairly good list of those. I wanted to start with Planet Earth 2, which just came out on UHD Blu-ray, 4K. And from all reports I've heard, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, Scott, you know, the first Planet Earth was widely, you know, accepted. Everyone loves the first Planet Earth. So everyone was anticipating the release of this. And of course, you know, Ultra HD was, you know, just the perfect, you know, vehicle for this. And I'm telling you, it looks absolutely spectacular, an Ultra HD. You know, I mean, it was shot in 4K. You know, now they use some drones, and you know, obviously they use, you know, high, you know, Ultra HD cameras, 4K cameras and things like that. And, but some of their shots, you know, they had to use, you know, smaller, you know, type cameras, 4K or not. So, you know, I think when you look at the image quality, cause I've had some members on AVS, you know, with critical eyes point out the fact that not, you know, not every single element that they're seeing on screen is, you know, equal. You know, some look a little softer and so forth, but predominantly
which
speaking,
was probably due to the fact that some of those drone cameras or GoPros maybe or something that they were using were 1080p that they then had to upscale.
Right. I mean, but be that as it may, predominantly speaking, it's a fantastic presentation. Definitely, you know, something that those who are interested in Ultra HD would find is the perfect you know, the perfect way to showcase what Ultra HD can do, because it looks phenomenal.
Another one I really wanted to make sure we talk about is Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, Ang Lee's movie about some soldiers coming back from Iraq and being hailed as heroes and appearing in the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving Day football halftime. And what's interesting about this movie, among other things, I mean, I happen to think that the movie was very good. A lot of people didn't. And I'd love to get your take on that. But first, I wanted to mention that Ang Lee was doing some experimentation, and he shot the movie not at 24 frames per second, not at 48, not at 60, but at 120 frames per second. And very few people got to actually see it at that rate, but the Ultra HD Blu-ray came out at 60 frames per second. So they had to cut it down from the original, but it's still a lot faster frame rate than virtually all other movies. The couple of the Hobbit movies were at 48, but I'd love to hear what you think about 60 frames per second.
Well, you know, high frame rate for me, you know, isn't something that, I mean, watching Billy Lynn, you know, the first thing that jumped out at me was that it had this soap opera effect, is what people call it. But mm-hmm. The image is very, very smooth looking. And, you know, for me, you know, I'm used to looking at 24 frames per second. So it has more of a filmic texture or filmic quality, as opposed to that 60 frames per second, which has that glisteny soap opera effect. So it's not something that I'm used to. It's not something I'm accustomed to. So my reaction to it was when watching Billy Lynn was lukewarm. But I could see going forward, you know, when you start to see more content released in that, if we start to see any more content released in that.
If. That's a pretty big if, but I'm
old. It's an if. You know, at the end of the day, Scott, you know, Billy Lynn looks terrific on Ultra HD Blu-ray. I mean, sharp, detailed. You know, I mean, you know, looking at the image, it's absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. It just takes getting used to. So like I said, some people looked at it, were turned off by it, and that kind of ruined the experience for them in watching the movie. It didn't ruin the experience for me, but it's not something I'm accustomed to. So, right. 60 frames per second, am I a proponent? I'm not a huge fan of it, but I could see it growing on me.
Okay. And what did you think of the movie itself? I know we're not really talking about quality of movies these days, but I'm curious to know what you thought about the movie itself as a movie.
You know, it for me, it was a movie that was good. I thought that there were some narrative issues that, you know, that I couldn't kind of get my head around. I didn't have any issue. I liked the concept of the movie. Mm-hmm. I liked Ang Lee's approach to telling the story. I just didn't find the story to be wholly gratifying. But I, you know, I enjoyed the movie. I've only seen it once. And I held on to it. So it's a movie that I intend to watch again, because sometimes, you know, when you watch a movie like that, you're focusing, especially me and what I do, I find myself, because that one was, you know, 6 frames per second. So yeah. So you find yourself focusing on other things, and, you know, sometimes some of the elements of the story get lost. So, I want to revisit that, but I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings up another question, which is, as you're watching a movie, as you're reviewing a movie, watching it in order to write a review, how do you split your attention to the movie itself and the technical aspects of the presentation? Do you typically watch them more than once?
No, I've gotten pretty good at being able to balance you know, all those things. And I mean, when you're watching, I mean, I've written, the number of reviews I've done is probably in the thousands now. But so I've seen.
You are extremely prolific.
Yeah, you could say that. But I mean, once you begin watching it, I mean, you know, there are certain things that I don't want to say you're going to take for granted, but there are certain aspects of it that, you know, you become accustomed to and attuned to. So, you know, you kind of naturally can absorb those things as you're paying attention to the story and the plot, mm-hmm. and things like that. If there's something that jumps out at me that may look wrong or out of place or sound out of place, then you may go back and, you know, kind of rewatch that or revisit that particular instance to say, well, you know, well, what was going on there? But aside from that, yeah, I don't find it, you know, that I need to try and watch a movie more than one time to be able to absorb what I'm seeing, hearing, and, you know, thematically, you know, getting.
Right. Well, point out a couple more UHD Blu-rays that look particularly good.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I just reviewed that one recently. That's, again, one of those titles, you know, that was rated very high by me in my review, both on the audio and the quality of the Dolby Atmos track. This is one that not only has spectacular use of high dynamic range, but very, very good use of wide color gamut. I mean, it's a really beautiful audio video presentation that, you know, is, you know, it's a home run.
Yeah.
Let's see. X-Men Apocalypse. X-Men Apocalypse was one of the first titles that I reviewed that blew me away in terms of its of its UHD quality. Because, you know, the first few titles that I watched on UHD, I was kind of, this looks good, but I'm not really like, you know, I was expecting to be, you know, blown away, and I'm not. Well, when I saw X-Men Apocalypse, that was the first title that I saw that blew me away. And I believe it got a perfect rating for me for video quality. And the Atmos mix is excellent as well.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite, at least everyone I know, Pacific Rim.
I never did see that one. It's sort of another sort of Transformers.
Shame on you, Scott. Shame on you. Yeah, Pacific Rim, you know, I had high hopes for it coming to Ultra HD, and Warner Brothers, of course, didn't let us down. And that's one of those titles like Mad Max Fury Road that has a great 3D presentation, has a great Blu-ray presentation, great sound mix, and now we get a great Ultra HD presentation with a little frosting on the top, because it also came with an Atmos mix. So that made a lot of people happy, and the Atmos mix did not disappoint.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the greatest movie in the world, but again, we're not really mostly talking about the quality of the movie per se. I'm not a big fan of Transformers or I guess that one, but I suppose I better put it in my library just to, you know, be able to see the beauty of it, which I've said many times in my reviews. You know, I go out to the Dolby Cinema to see movies, and I write my reviews of those movies based on being in the Dolby Cinema. And the last few I've been to have looked gorgeous, but I didn't think the story was that good. Now, there are those who disagree with me, but that's what makes a horse race, right?
Exactly. You know, when people come, you know, when I write a review and members of our community come on, you know, and they comment, and I try to remind everybody, you know, it's okay. You know, if you didn't like the movie or I did, or I didn't like the movie and you did, that's okay. You know, we're all entitled to our opinions. You know, that's what makes the world go round. So it's all good either way. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Absolutely. Okay. What else have we got in UHD?
Sully. You know, Sully surprised me. I kind of heard like mixed reviews of the movie. So, you know, my son saw it and he said, it was okay. So, you know, being intimately familiar with the story, this occurred, here in New York, you know, this is based on a true story. So, you know, I sat down to watch Sully, and the Ultra HD presentation was top notch. Spectacular use of HDR, high resolution, some wonderful deep blacks, and the Atmos mix specifically, replicating what went on inside, not just the cockpit, but in the plane, you know, during, you know, this thing, you know, where they were,
as it was coming down,
as it was coming down, you were in the cabin. Spectacular.
Wow. Yeah. Very good. What about Deadpool? You mentioned that one as well. And that one is interesting because it is actually a UHD premium certified disc. The only one I know of, but there may be others. But that was also on your list.
Yeah, it is. Now,
The UHD premium logo there.
I see that. You know, it looks great. You know, I mean, it's one of these titles that it looked very good on Blu-ray. And I think what Ultra HD did for it was it kind of drew out those finest details, you know, and, you know, the wide color gamut, you know, kind of helped the colors pop a little bit. You know, the use
probably,
of high dynamic.
Probably, again, the red of his suit was one of those areas of wide color gamut that would look different on UHD versus Blu-ray 1080p.
Correct. And, of course, now we have the addition of Dolby Atmos, sound. And, you know, being the type of movie that it is, it really took advantage of that, creating, a very entertaining, home theater, immersive 3D sound mix. So, Deadpool's one of those, you know, well-rounded audio video presentations that sparkles on UHD.
And the other one that I actually have now, and I didn't see it in the theater, I haven't watched it yet, but I intend to, is Lucy. It looked like a fascinating concept.
You know, it's one of those movies, you know, it's got a little sci-fi thing to it. It's got some action to it. You know, it's kind of got this thought-provoking type of concept. Lucy, getting right down to brass tacks, Lucy is one of these movies that doesn't ask any questions, just to want you to sit back and just let it wash over you. You know, it's about 90 minutes long, so it moves quickly, but it's really a lot of fun, and it looks really, really good. You know, again, it's one of these movies that rated very high for me in terms of its 1080p presentation. And so, you know, and as well as this DTS HD Master Audio Sound on Blu-ray, but Ultra HD, you know, it takes that, takes both up a notch. Whereas now we get an Atmos immersive mix, and it takes all the things that were good about the Blu-ray presentation and just bumps them up a notch. Really sharp, wonderful colors, superb use of HDR. Just a great all-around presentation, Scott. You have to see it.
Yeah, well, I will. I have it. I bought it, in fact, specifically because everyone has said, "Oh man, you got to see this." So now I will. You mentioned something interesting: how the UHD version bumps up the quality of these various parameters that we're talking about. You also sent me a list of Blu-rays, 1080p Blu-rays that you particularly like, and many of them in the list are also available in UHD. So why would somebody, other than the fact that they don't have UHD in their home theater yet, I guess that's really the reason one would want to know what good Blu-rays are, because still a lot of people don't have Ultra HD capabilities in their home yet.
That's true. So what was your question, Scott?
Oh, just in terms of you sent me a list of particular Blu-rays that you particularly liked. And my question was, you know, why not just get the UHD Blu-ray if there's one of that as well? And I answered my own question. Sorry about that. You know, because somebody might not have it. So you want to tell people what's good in Blu-ray as well.
Right. And what I do in my reviews of an Ultra HD title, I actually cover the Ultra HD portion of it. You know, I do an Ultra HD portion, which uses different rating parameters. And then I do, if it has an immersive sound mix, I do that. And then I also include a review of the quality of the Blu-ray, and if the Blu-ray has a soundtrack that's different from the, you know, the Atmos mix, if it has a standard soundtrack, then I'll rate them as well, giving, you know, folks the opportunity to kind of see what I thought of the video quality of both. Now, some people out there will go ahead, even if they're not set up for UHD, and just purchase the UHD, you know, as kind of a future-proof way of having both in the event they decide to go forward. And for those that don't yet, they can still read a review and see the quality of the Blu-ray and make a buying decision based upon that.
Mm-hmm. Do most UHD Blu-rays come with the high definition 1080p Blu-ray in the same package?
Yes, they do. The only one that I haven't seen do that, well, I'm trying to think. The only one that I haven't seen do that is Planet Earth 2.
Yeah,
that was that one was just UHD. But predominantly speaking, 99% of the time, you're going to get the standard Blu-ray as well. So if you want to be future, you know, ready for the future, then you can go ahead and pick up the Ultra HD version, because you'll get the Blu-ray in there as well.
Mm-hmm. How much of a price premium is there typically on UHD titles versus if you just bought the Blu-ray?
It's about $10, depending on where you get it, it's about $10 more. Could be a little bit more. You know, so that Blu-ray that comes out that first week, if you got it at Best Buy, you're going to pay $19.99. If you get it that week, the UHD that week at Best Buy, it's going to be either $29.99 or maybe $24.99. So the Blu-ray may be $16.99 or $17.99 that first week it comes out on sale. So it's about a $10 difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell us about some of the Blu-rays, 1080p standard dynamic range Blu-rays that you particularly like.
Star Wars: The Force Awakens is among my favorites. Mm-hmm. Great movie. I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, great movie. You know, spectacular audio video presentation. You can't go wrong. Disney has not adopted either immersive sound or Ultra HD at this point. So, but that's okay, because this title looks terrific in 1080p using a DTS HD Master Audio 7.1 channel sound.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America.
By the way, before you go on, does the right. Is there a there must be a UHD version of it as well. Does that have immersive sound, or is Disney just not doing immersive sound on any of its releases?
Disney has not adopted either Ultra HD or
or immersive sound. Wow, they're not even doing Ultra HD. How interesting.
Yeah, so you got a lot of you got a lot of folks out there that aren't happy about that. We're all kind of hopeful that Disney will get on the bandwagon and start doing that. You know, because don't forget they also they also control Marvel. So we're getting these Marvel releases. And the next one I was going to talk about, like Captain America, Civil War, is another title that's released. You know, it's Marvel, but it's distributed by Disney. So we're not getting those in Ultra HD with immersive sound either. Hopefully Disney will get on the bandwagon.
Yeah, but that one's Captain America: Civil War is another good one in Blu-ray.
Absolutely. Especially if you're a fan of those types of movies, looks great, sounds great. And this is a title that was released also in 3D, and the 3D experience is also quite excellent with that one as well.
Mm. We're going to talk about 3D in just a second here, but let's go on to a couple other of these that you've got here.
Okay, The Martian.
That's
one of your favorites, and it didn't disappoint in 1080p with DTS HD master audio 7.1 channel sound. The Martian looks and sounds great. Everest is another title that looks great, and that's one again that kind of crosses these and sounds great. It kind of crosses these boundaries where the 3D presentation, the Blu-ray presentation, and the sound are all terrific right across the board. So Everest looks great on Blu-ray. Lucy is one we talked about already. Lucy, again, looks great. Prometheus is another one that's a Fox title. Looks and sounds great on Blu-ray. A lot of people didn't care for the movie. Some people really got it,
And the next one is coming out very soon.
It is. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. I like Prometheus, so I'm looking forward to seeing what Ridley Scott has in store for us on the next one. Let's see. An animated title called Kubo and the Two Strings.
One of my favorites of all time.
I hadn't seen it, hadn't really heard much about it until Universal sent it to me, and just fell in love with it. And fortunately, it looks and sounds terrific on Blu-ray.
Is it also available on UHD?
Not yet. I don't know if it'll be released. It hasn't been announced for Ultra HD. But Universal's been pretty good about releasing some of their catalog titles on Ultra HD Blu-ray. So, we'll have to see what happens going forward.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned 3D, and I wanted to, before we run out of time, I wanted to spend a little time on 3D, which is an interesting thing in the marketplace these days, because a lot of the TV manufacturers have dumped it, have dropped it from their feature set. LG has dropped it. Vizio has dropped it. I don't recall if Samsung, I think Samsung has as well. And yet, as you know, if you read the forum, which I'm sure you do, that there's quite a vocal group on the forum, the AVS forum, that says, we want our 3D, and we're not going to buy new TVs. We're going to keep the old ones that have 3D because we got these big collections of 3D Blu-rays.
That's correct.
So
and you're right.
It's still a viable thing, and UHD Blu-ray does not have 3D.
No, it's doesn't appear to be built into the specification at this point.
It isn't.
Yeah, so I can't speak for the manufacturers. I can only speak to what I know. From not just, my experience, but from the community. And I think, out in the world, at least in our little bubble, 3D is still very much alive. And, I love it. I love 3D Blu-ray. I love what a well-done 3D title can bring to the table in terms of, kind of helping to draw you into that source material to make the experience.
If it's done well.
Yeah, if it's done well, and it's funny because, you have some movies that are shot with 3D in mind. They're shot natively in 3D. Mm-hmm. And then you have some that are done in post-production. And I got to tell you, I've seen some that are shot natively that have been okay, not that impressive. And I've seen conversions that have been spectacular. It's kind of a mixed bag. But, if it's done well, it's lots of fun.
Yeah, and the other weird thing about 3D is that while it's kind of disappearing from the home theater market, it's not from the commercial cinema market. I mean, almost every movie, or most of the blockbusters anyway, are released in 3D, in IMAX 3D or Real D 3D. In Dolby Cinema, it's typically 2D, which I personally like because of the technology. We won't go there right now, but the particular technology used in laser projection is I don't enjoy because I wear glasses and there's a weird reflection thing going on. But that isn't to say that 3D isn't huge. It's almost every movie is released in it in the commercial cinema. And yet now when we come to the home, only people with TVs that are a year old or more, maybe 1 to 3 or 4 years old, can actually watch them in 3D.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame, and I agree, you know, that, you know, I know of people who have 3D, who enjoy 3D, who, like you said, you know, they're holding on to their sets, you know, and yeah, their position is simple, like, I'm not going to buy another one, and, you know, unless I get 3D, mm-hmm, because I do have this huge collection, I do enjoy it, and it's something that, you know, I would like to see continue. So yeah, I guess we'll have to see where all that goes.
And interestingly, most projectors still have 3D. The JVC that you have, the Sonys, the Epsons. Yeah. Yeah. They all still have 3D. So it's not dead entirely, but in flat panel TVs, it's kind of on its way out.
Yeah. And you still see it too in a lot of the players that they're coming out with. They're all still 3D capable. So
Yeah.
Hard to say. Hard to say.
So tell us about some of your favorite 3D Blu-rays.
Okay. Most recently, I just reviewed Doctor Strange. That's
great,
another Marvel
3D
movie.
Yeah.
The 3D presentation was really spectacular. Better than I actually anticipated. I didn't see it in the theater, but so I didn't see Doctor Strange until I saw it here at home. Mm. And I watched it in 3D, and I thought that 3D was very, very good. Star Wars: The Force Awakens. We talked about that earlier on Blu-ray, but the 3D version of Star Wars: The Force Awakens is so good that that's the only way I'll watch the movie now. That's how good it is. Very, very good. Definitely adds to the source material.
I hadn't seen it that way. I'll have to check it out.
Yes, definitely check it out, Scott. Pacific Rim. I know, here we go again. But yeah, Pacific Rim. Excellent 3D rendering. You know, again, as to the source material, yeah, the movie is kind of whatever. But the 3D rendering is really very good. Another movie, Hugo.
You know, I saw that in 3D when it came out in the theaters, and I thought the 3D was phenomenal.
Yeah, and it comes through that way at home as well, Scott. So if you haven't seen it at home, but you did see it in the theater, you've got a pretty good idea of what to expect. So that one looks very, very good in 3D. Life of Pi is another one. We talked about Ang Lee earlier. Life of Pi in 3D definitely complements the source. Looks wonderful in 3D and adds, you know, another layer to the storytelling.
I heard Ang Lee talk about Life of Pi in 3D once, and not long ago when Billy Lynn came out and he was doing a thing, and he said that he was actually relatively conservative with the 3D because he was experimenting. I love the fact that he's an experimenter, and he was just kind of experimenting with things. So he didn't go all crazy with it. And he also put most of the depth behind the screen. And I find that to be far more effective in 3D movies than bringing stuff in front of the screen, pointing out at the audience.
I would tend to agree with that. I also think that some of it depends on the source material too. I mean, if you watch a movie like, you know, certain movies, things don't need to be protruding out of the screen and coming at you. But, you know, if you're watching a type of movie where there are, you know, there could potentially be objects or things going on, you know, that might kind of, you know, enhance the experience of watching the movie, you know, the fun of watching it, where something may kind of swoop out at you or something like that, then I think it's okay. But I agree with you. I much prefer natural depth as opposed to, you know, this gratuitous use of things protruding out of the screen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, listen, we're about out of time, but I wanted to mention one more 3D movie that I'm sure gives some people fits, and that's The Walk.
I just... I loved it. My son's a big fan of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and of course it's based on a true story and so forth.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, it gave some people vertigo or something, but the 3D effect, this is a movie I think that was made for it. I mean, it really, really draws you into the story, and draws you into the actual feeling of being there. And I thought they did a spectacular job with the 3D on the walk.
Mm-hmm. I'll make it mention an aside. This is based on a true story of a French guy who strung a cable between the two towers of the World Trade Center, obviously before 2001 or September 11th anyway, and walked across with no official authorization or anything. He just did it. His name was Philippe something. I can't remember his last name, but he was interviewed. There's a show on National Geographic called Star Talk, hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's this astrophysicist, right? And he interviews people on this show. And he interviewed this guy, Philippe, and what an incredibly beautiful interview it is. This guy is amazing. So I recommend that people look for that particular episode of Star Talk, because, man, oh, man, he was just a beautiful human being and really had great, wonderful things to say about all kinds of things. So I just wanted to make that mention.
Great.
Listen, we've run out of time. Can you believe it? It just goes by so fast, doesn't it?
Always happens, Scott.
Thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom about movies that you have reviewed. As you say, you've done now thousands probably, and many more to come. I sure look forward to it. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Scott. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks. That's Ralph Potts. He is the Blu-ray and now Ultra HD Blu-ray reviewer on AVS Forum. And you can read all about his stuff on avsforum.com, where you'll find me as well. You can also email me at scott@twit.tv. And you can follow me on Twitter at htgeekscott and at AVS Forum. You can always find previous episodes of Home Theater Geeks right here at twit.tv/htg and on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit/home-theater-geeks. Next week, my guest geek is scheduled to be Joe Kane, the video guru who's been on the show a number of times, and we'll be talking about what's new in video. So I do hope you will join me for that. Until then, geek out.